Welcome to the New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. Today I'll be interviewing Gary Tiroler. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll receive alerts when new episodes are available on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, please leave me a review on iTunes or Spotify. Did anybody see the spiral and the pain that you were in your drug addiction, or did they just think everything was going well with you?
No one ever saw it. Like, I was, my parents had no idea. I was living in a different city to them. I mean, they all saw I was drinking, right? Drinking in our society is normal, which is blows my mind how it's normal. And it's accepted. It's probably the harshest. It's the harshest drug out there. And no one saw. I was also dating. I had a long-term girlfriend at that time, my ex-girlfriend. She had no idea I was doing everything behind her back. I had two lives. I had the one life that no one knew anything was wrong. I had this life that I was, you know, managing. See, I was managing businesses, right? I was managing these big businesses at the time. And I was using running. I don't classify myself as a runner then, but I was using running a 3 mile, 4 mile the next morning as a cover. So people wouldn't think, like, people look at me like, oh, well, he's running. There's no ways, you know? If they suspected I was taking drugs, like, there's no ways he was. Like, look, he's up at 7 running. Ironically, most times I was running high, to be honest. It was just for the cover. It was not for the fitness. It was not for the happiness. It wasn't for everything. And I had these two lives. I had this person that was able to command crowds, entertain people, go to functions as a functioning human being. But then come like 10 p.m. at night, I was switching my phone onto airplane mode and getting lost in the city with drug dealers, with the wrong type of people, and living this really, like, I don't know. I wouldn't say as far as sadistic, but it was really a life that no one knew about besides the people that I was with at the time. So you can imagine when I did come out, it was kind of shock and horror. Like, people didn't first believe me, et cetera, et cetera. I kind of then had to prove myself. But when I checked into rehab, I think everyone realized, okay, like, he's not talking shit. So because of that, no one actually took me there. It was my moment of sanity within the madness that I realized that, like, I can't do this anymore.
It takes some real mental fortitude to be able to stop doing something that you probably enjoyed for a period of time, for sure. Because, yeah, so many people, they have this... who may be addicted to drugs or alcohol, they have such a difficult time breaking loose from it, even when other people are trying to get them to quit, because it comes down to, I think you mentioned it as well, you got to a place that you wanted to do something different and change that about yourself, but still doing it by yourself is a pretty courageous act.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that. It's just, I think for someone that hasn't suffered from that and looking in, I agree, it is a courageous act. For me, during that period, it was the only act I could take. I looked at myself, it was the morning that I turned myself in, for lack of a better term. It was, I looked at myself, the sun was coming up, I hadn't slept, you know, and I was like, well, if I allow the drugs to wear off, I'm going to carry on taking drugs because I will not tell people, you know. Right now, I'm hurting. I'm depressed right now in this moment. I was like, I've got two choices. I'm like, I either get in my car high, risk other drivers on the road and risk my own life, drive to my parents' house and bust myself and tell them, guys, I want to go to rehab. You have to take, this is the news, etc. or I let it wear off and I potentially kill myself in this hole that I'm in. It was a very short moment of clarity. It was a very short, like, tiny moment. And I knew these tiny moments kind of washed away very quickly. But it was the first time I had the resolve to, like, okay, get in the car and just go. It's like, time is up now. It's like, and I think I was afforded that opportunity. You don't really get many moments in your life, I don't believe, that allows you to change your path so drastically. Because a lot of times we don't like looking at a change in direction. It's too hard. It's too hard. There's too much fear behind it. You can imagine there's a lot of fear from my side, you know, like, what are people going to think? Am I going to get fired from work? Are my parents going to disregard me? Is my girlfriend going to break up with me? And in that moment, all I said to myself is, like, it's life, death, what I want. Don't want to live, don't want to die. And it was so clear in my mind, you know? I think it's drastic because a lot of people don't suffer from drug and alcohol abuse. And I want to tell those people out there, if you suffer from drug and alcohol abuse, reach out to me. Cool. But there's so many people you can reach out to. You don't understand. Pick up a phone. You know, there's 12-step meetings everywhere. There's even 12-step meetings for people that do not suffer from drug and alcohol abuse. And this is where I want to get to. It's drugs and alcohol was not my problem. I was my problem. You know, I was my only problem because I was not looking. I was not paying attention to myself. I wasn't listening to myself. I wasn't being aware of what I wanted. I was being a people pleaser. I was taking in everything that everyone else wanted. Let me see if I can get this phrase right. I became the person that I thought everyone was thinking I was. So I'll say this again. I am whoever I think other people think I am. Mm-hmm. You get that?
Yes.
So I started becoming this person that I thought everyone wanted me to be, which was completely opposite to what I wanted. And I feel a lot of people do this. A lot of people try to entertain other people's values and ideals. And that's what the problem was for me. Because that landed me up in a place, of course it's going to land me up in a place of unhappiness, depression, like zero fulfillment. I mean, look, I didn't have this all in the moment of sobering up and gaining clarity. It took me a lot of work to understand this. But now understanding this, Maurice, I sit here with very minimal physical things in my life and an abundance of beautiful relationships and not having to prove myself to anyone.
And that's a place of peace for you. And you can,
hey man, I mean, I was just going to say that. So I was just going to explain that's I sit here. It's so peaceful.
Wow. Yeah. That's a powerful story. So you were in rehab, and then when you got out, I assume you started to continue your journey. So what made you choose nutrition to concentrate on that?
So it's a kind of a weird thing. Yeah. So I stepped out of rehab. I'll take you back there. 2014, stepped out of rehab. And I looked around and I didn't know anyone. I didn't know myself yet. And I didn't know what to do because I stepped out, I resigned. They tried to get me to stay in the company. And I was just like, it's impossible. It's impossible. I didn't even know what I want yet. And I stood in front of the mirror and looked at myself and I was like, I have disrespected my body for so long since I was 13, you know, 13, I started drinking and smoking, 14. Let's not go through the war stories, but I had disrespected my body for so long and disrespected my mind for so long. So it was I walked into a cafe once. I really believe in the divine timing of happenings in life, right? If you open yourself up, and this is where I say, if you're curious enough and you open yourself up to listen to the world and listen to yourself, the right people and the right, should I say, the right teachers, whether it's a book or a person, comes your way. And you need to listen to that. And I walked into a cafe, and the person, so my dad, yeah, okay, hold on, I'll get to that later. So I walked into a cafe, and she was introducing amazing person, Marianne Shearer. She was actually the first person that I interviewed on my podcast, because she was the reason for this whole journey. And she had put together a coaching course, sorry, a nutrition course. And she kind of convinced me in that one lunch. And I did it, and I started studying nutrition. And I was like, this is what I need to do. I need to reverse my disrespect to my body. I need to get healthy again. And I was grabbing onto everything, you know. I was just trying to soak up everything. I was reading like a book a week. And I got into studying nutrition. And the more I started studying it, I was like, oh, it resonated with me. Like, I was like, okay, cool, this will work. And I was experimenting on myself. And half of the course was a nutrition course, and half the course was a coaching course to become a registered nutrition advisor, wellness coach, etc. So I studied the nutrition and got into the wellness coaching part of the course. And you have to start getting on clients like for free, starting to coach them. And I was absolutely loving it, because I was working with people, and while I was kind of healthifying myself, regaining my health, I was helping other people to regain their health. And yeah, that's when I was like, okay, cool, this is something I could do. And then it just grew, and I started getting more clients. But here's the catch. Two things happened. I took my dad on as a client, as one of my first like formal clients as a health coach. Okay. And he was weighing, what's it in pounds? So it was weighing 150 kilos. And that's about 320 pounds, I believe, 330 pounds. So he was overweight. And he had suffered from cholesterol, diabetes, high blood pressure. Kidney stones came like monthly. He had IBS. He had ulcerative colitis. He was on, I think, 9 Schedule 6 meds, right? Your standard American diets and pill popping variants of most people in this world today, especially in the Western world. He was, how old was he then? He's 70 this year, so that would have made him like 66, yeah? So I took him on as a client, and I'd been doing lots of, and through studying nutrition, I realized there's only really one way you can really regain your health, and it was through a plant-based diet. That's where it was at. I didn't want to accept it, but I accepted it because I experimented on myself, and it made me a lot stronger. And I'll explain that after the story. My dad was a butcher. So I thought, there's no ways he's going to become plant-based. There's no ways. He's a butcher. His mom was a butcher. His brothers are butchers. It's no ways. And I just finished reading through a research paper by Dr. Neil Barnard, who scientifically proved through peer-reviewed science that you can reverse diabetes on a plant-based diet, on a high carbohydrate, low-fat diet. And I walked into the kitchen one day, and I said, "Hey, Dad, I think I can reverse your diabetes." And he was like, kind of shrugged it off. He's like, he's had it for like over 20 years. He's been to every top doctor in South Africa, and haven't been able to do it. So he's like, "Okay, cool, let's do this." And he's like, "Cool, I'm going to do it for 3 weeks." It's within 3 weeks. I kid you not, within 3 weeks, I think he lost about 15 kilos, which is over 30 pounds. Like 35 pounds. Within 4 weeks, he had reversed his diabetes completely. He's still, 4 years later, he still hasn't had any signs of it coming back at all. Reversed his diabetes type 2. Within Within 4 months, he had lost 120 pounds. He had reversed his diabetes, his cholesterol, his ulcerative colitis. He came off all 9 Schedule 6 meds. This is within 6 months. Because he lost all this weight and got healthy, he sold his car. He only cycles to work now. He's 70. He runs 4 times a week and all that. We cycled to Christmas, the next Christmas after that, and he turned to me. And I asked him, I was like, Dad, why are you still plant-based? Why? And he said, I've never felt so good in my life. And I was like, okay. And he's like, and then he turned to me and said, I need to thank you for giving me a new lease on life. And it was that moment of clarity. I've had 2, yeah? I sobered up. And it was when he said those words to me, and it was not because he was my dad. It was because he said to me, I gave him the opportunity, a new lease on life. Mm-hmm. And that was when I realized, not that I enjoyed doing this, that it was my service back to this beautiful world and humanity to be able to support people and coach people through my studies, experience, strength, hope, skill of dealing with people, listening to people. So other people have the chance of perhaps gaining a moment of clarity and a moment of, and like my dad coined, a lease on life. And that's when I decided to get full on into coaching. Now, I've really put that story more into brief contents. But when I started working with new clients and all that, it came down to one thing, Maurice. It was never the food. It was never the food. It was always the person behind the food. Just like I said, it was not the drugs. It was me. People were eating unhealthy because of what was happening in their life emotionally. It was happening because of emotional blockages. It was happening because of conditioning from society. People don't eat McDonald's because McDonald's is great food. People eat McDonald's because they've been conditioned that it is through cheap pricing and through incredible marketing. People don't eat meat nowadays because it makes you healthy. Meat, it's been proven over and over and over. It does the absolute opposite. It's, there's peer-reviewed science out there that there's a correlation between meat consumption and cancer, etc. I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor, so don't quote me on this, but people can do their own research. I'm happy to give that to them. But people don't eat meat or eggs or processed food, processed grains, processed bread and all that. They don't eat it because they want to. They eat it because big companies have the right amount of money to create the right balance of salts and sugars to get us addicted to sugars and salts. People have enough money to condition us to think that we only thrive on protein. I don't know if we've got enough time to get into the actual, we can maybe do a follow-up episode where we get into the actual basics of nutrition. But what I found was people were eating to compensate for their emotional blockages. People were eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I have to ask you this question. Let's make it a rhetorical question, more like it. Like, who came up with the concept of breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Way back when, humans were eating to survive. Yeah? They were eating when they were hungry or to survive. Nowadays, we've developed this plate size, the standard dinner plate size, and we believe we need to fill that. And a lot of people believe we need to fill that with proteins. And we look at every macro, like how many calories on a plate, etc., etc. So we don't listen to our body, what our body wants. And we wake up and we're like, well, it's breakfast time. We need to eat, it's lunchtime. We need to eat. It's dinner time. We need to eat. And yeah, it just becomes this ugly cycle of addiction, addiction to what we used to, addiction to our culture, addiction to our norms, and addiction to the foods around us. Because I'll tell you straight up, food is so addictive. So addictive. And I find we're in this problem where if we don't start listening to ourselves and what we want, again, it comes back to the truth. What is your truth? Do you want that burger? Or do you just want that momentary taste satisfaction? You know, do you want this relationship, or are you compensating for a lack of relationships when you were younger, your parents, your grandparents, etc.?
True.
So I've developed now, I've through all of this explaining to you briefly, I've developed a structure where we deal with everything in life, right? I'm able to deal with people, hold people's hands through gaining clarity within their food, right? Gaining clarity within their emotional life, their emotional and mental life, because it's always fuzzy there, and people don't want to be vulnerable, and it's within vulnerability that you find strength, right? So it's that, and if you combine those and work with those together, what you do is, it's a very subtle detox. Were you able to detox the brain, the mind, the heart, and the body, the physical body at the same time? And it's only through this that you find clarity. It's the reason why Gandhi was vegetarian, was healthy, he fasted, and he, you know, like, and he served people. He loved being a nurse, you know. He served people because we really only keep what we have by giving it away.
Sure. That's powerful. I mean, so many powerful points you made in that story. So we definitely have to do a part two to get into the nutrition mm-hmm. part, because I know that's going to be really helpful for people as well to, you know, have you expound a little more on the plant-based diet and, you know, so on in that regard. So, yeah, that's really powerful, especially when you began, you talked about being in that restaurant and eating after you, you know, got out of rehab and started that journey, and you were ready. And I remember this quote, it says that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So that person appeared because of what was going on the inside of you, just like beforehand, the things that were going on inside of you, the person with the cocaine showed up, you know? So we are constantly living our experiences from the inside, but we just have to be cognizant of what's going on within us. And like you said, to be in our truth and to live our truth, that's so important.
Of course. I mean, life is so simple. We complicate it as humans, right? Because whatever diet you follow, right? Whatever age you are, we all know what makes you healthier. More fruits, more vegetables, more grains, more beans, more whole foods, yeah? And less processed foods, okay? And today, like we said, we can get into it. Meat nowadays is processed, right? It's just by the pure form of factory farming, right? Okay. And we complicate everything. So like what is going to make us more healthy? More whole foods, more water, right? More movement. And if we just look at it like this and act lightly towards ourselves and stop having a reductionist model of, I need to run 5Ks every single day. You know, I need to get in 20 grams of protein, whatever it is. I mean, that's very low for some people. But like, I need to get 100 grams of protein every day. I can't eat more carbohydrates than this, you know. I need to fast because I read it up. I need to do this. No, what you need to do is start listening to your intuition, and that intuition is your gut feeling. That feeling when you're speaking to someone, you know, like you feel like, oh no, this doesn't feel good. And you be cautious. You know, we have that same gut feeling. A lot of times we don't listen to that feeling. It comes like, oh, we must be cautious. Oh, we mustn't trust this person. Oh, you know, like, oh, I don't think this food's going to be good for me. But I don't know what it is. Humans have lost this ability to listen to that intuition. It's still playing a part in our lives, but we disregard it. And I just something that I'm just thinking of. I mentioned fasting and that, and I want to explain something. I'm not the biggest proponent of fasting, so I'm not telling people to fast. If you're going to fast, you need to. Here's the thing, and again, I'm going to pick it from Gandhi because he explained it so well. He's like, a lot of your spiritual leaders fast, right? Fasting only works for a person if you are fasting without any desire and obsession with the food that you're going to consume afterwards. Fasting should be done physically and emotionally and spiritually. As soon as you start desiring while you're fasting, while you deprive yourself of food, while in this deprivation, if you're going to start wanting more, you know, like dreaming about food and all that, you wipe all the benefits out. So there's two ways of fasting there. I just wanted to clarify that. But Mauricio, at the end of the day, I pray that everyone finds their moment of clarity and understands that the only person that they need to, sorry, their priority in life is themselves. The priority in life is always yourself. And to prioritize yourself, you need to listen to yourself, and you need to listen to your intuition and your gut feeling. And when you do that, I promise you, the amount of teachers that come into your life are constant.
Yeah, I agree, especially when you talk about that intuition that every single human being has, but we tend to override it by overthinking things, because it's always right. Like, it's always right. If you get something on a gut level that leads you in a certain way and you dismiss it, and then you look back afterwards, you would be like, and I'm sure so many people would remember this, saying that, oh, I should have followed my first thought. Many people say that phrase, but it comes definitely out of a place of clarity, so that inner clarity, so we can have confidence in that instinctive intuition that we have. But definitely food helps us a great deal, you know, a plant-based diet, and it brings clarity. I remember when I stopped eating meats just a few years ago now, and I've always learned things about health. You know, I learned as a teenager, you know, we shouldn't be drinking a lot of soda. So I started drinking water and just kept adding on over the years. So I came to a place that I learned some more things. So I was like, I'm going to try this, because through media and through marketing, as you spoke about earlier, I'm thinking that a person can't really live if you don't have meat. You know, you can't sustain yourself because of that, you know, just marketing, so they could sell and make money. So I did it. And I remember I think it was 2 weeks in, yeah, 2 or 3 weeks. And I, for 3 days in a row at night, I was sweating, and I woke up in cold sweats. And I was just sweating, and I was like, what on earth is this? And it was literally meat detoxifying from the meat and the sugars and all of these things I was consuming, thinking it was food, but it provided no nutritional value. It didn't assimilate with me, because whole plant-based foods assimilates with us. And it gives us that nutritional value. So the cheeses, the milks, and all these different things. And it was just amazing. And the way you feel. So it's amazing that your dad, even who probably was a meat eater, it's amazing that he took advice from his son and discontinued eating meats. and he reaped the benefits from it. But it's a powerful benefit, for people who their health situation. You just feel like $1 million, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him. I saw how, like, he got color back in his skin, you know, he started glowing. You know, his relationship with my mom was sort of flourishing even more. And he had more energy, life, and happiness in life, yeah? I was shocked when he changed. For me, I saw the benefits because I didn't want to give up meat and eggs and dairy and all that. I didn't want to give that up. I tested it, and I was training for Ironman at the time, and that's when I just self-experimented, and it worked for me. I was recovering quicker, shortly after that, and I wasn't just competing as an amateur, you know, like a representative in my country, in triathlon in Mexico that year and all that. And not once did I ever feel weak or I was only stronger, and my recovery was quicker, and I was... Here's the thing. I was lighter physically, and what that did to my mental clarity was beyond any form of book or teacher. Lightening my body from foods that were heavy and cumbersome and hard to digest and aggravating, should I say, gave me a mental clarity in order to be able to hear a lot more of my intuition and a lot more of my truth. It's very hard for people to hear that if they haven't walked that path, but it's one of the biggest benefits that I think I experienced.
Yes, that's a beautiful thing to hear. And we're going to wrap up this particular video, podcast episode. But we definitely have to do a part two, because I want to definitely get into, the food and the yoga and, more of your coaching. But what valuable piece of information would you like to leave our audience with today? Like, what is your one to grow on?
Okay. Well, first up, it's mandatory that we have a follow-up. Let's do a follow-up session for sure.
Yes.
One tip.
One to grow on.
And it's one of the biggest growth tools that I have found in my life. I like sharing my own experience. I've used it with clients and it's worked amazing, but it's really worked for me. It's being able to slow down and listen. Whereas I believe that the biggest lack in the human population right now is the ability to listen. And being listened to. There's so much busyness going on in this world. It's become the norm to live in big cities, busy cities. It's become the norm to work from 8 to 5 all day, every day in a little office, to the point where if you're not doing that, people look at you weirdly. Like, well, what do you do for work? You know, where do you get money from? And this has caused us to be trapped in a world of doing and wanting more and wanting more. And if we just stop in our tracks right now, today, wherever you guys are listening to this podcast right now, stop in your tracks and take a moment of quiet solitude on your own, in your own space, and really just... try and listen to your heartbeats. Try and listen to your breath. Because this is all we have right now. And when I listen to someone, I have got their attention way more than when I'm talking to them. And that just shows you how much people are wanting to be listened to, are craving it. And like you said, the teacher shows when the student is ready, and the student will never see the teacher if they're not listening.
Powerful. Powerful. So,
and I mean, to end that, I suppose there's many, many techniques you could practice this. Obviously, everyone knows meditation, but start simply. Meditation is sometimes hard for people. If meditation is too hard for everyone out there, go on a quiet walk on your own. No phone, no iPod, no iPhone music in your ears, you know, no headphones, no screen time. Just go for a walk in nature. Nature is our biggest teacher.
Thank you for listening to The New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, The New Mind Creator. This podcast has been sponsored by Abundant Sports and True Serum. Head over to www.mauriceflournoy.com to receive more motivation and insight to help create your new mind.